When I was in college, one of the favorite majors at that time was the philosophy major. And their emphasis was that they needed to get on the same ground as the unbelievers so that they could argue from their standpoint and bring them over to our standpoint. And another similar philosophy to that that recurs every now and then in Christendom is that if you want to win the world, you got to be like the world so that they'll like you and then they'll like what you believe. And these are all false philosophies of evangelism, false philosophies of life. And in our study in the book of Ephesians, we just saw in Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 19, what the world is really like. And Paul reminded the Ephesians, he said, I say therefore, Ephesians 4, 17, I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to licentiousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. So Paul says, this is the way the ungodly are like. This is what the world is like. And then he says, in verse 20, our text this morning will be verses 20 through 24, but you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. Father, we thank you for your word and pray that you would use this portion to teach us and instruct us in the way in which we should walk. And any who are here this morning without the Savior might see him in all of his beauty. We pray in his name. Amen. One thing interesting as we read the life of the Lord Jesus, that it is said of him that he was called a friend of publicans and sinners, but he was never called a publican or a sinner. They never accused him of being one, and in fact, his presence in their midst was to them a very refreshing thing because he was so different. And this should be the case also of those who belong to him. And this comes then, as we see from the Apostle Paul's instruction in Ephesians 4, this comes through learning Christ. Now, first of all, Paul talks about how we begin to learn Christ. And he says, but you have not so learned Christ. Interestingly enough, he does not say, you have not so learned about Christ. Now, if you want to learn about Confucianism, you can, but you can't learn Confucius. You can learn about Mohammedanism. But in Christianity, you don't just learn about Christ. You learn Christ because He is alive and we have a living relationship with Him as our Savior and our Lord. Paul here describes the state of the heathen and he says their condition is no way even similar to Christ. You have not so learned Christ. Because he is a person, and he is so different from the world. He stood out from the world. And you have not learned him in that way that you would follow the ways of this world and think yourself to be a Christian. Now, how do we begin to learn Christ? Paul says in verse 21, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Now, this is a what we call a first-class condition when Paul says, if indeed you have heard him. And the idea there is, if indeed and since you have. In other words, since you have heard him, he isn't doubting the salvation of the Ephesians. But this condition could be translated, since you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. How do we hear him? Jesus says in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's what it is to hear Christ. And Paul says, if you have heard him, as he calls out, and Christ says, my sheep hear my voice. Have you heard the voice of Christ and followed him? I remember when I was a teenager attending a modernistic church. There was no gospel in that church. But one day we had a visitor, a mother and her young daughter, and they were friends, I believe, of somebody from the church, and they found out that the girl sang, and so they asked her to sing a special number. And so she sang a song. And I still remember the song. She sang, there was one who was willing to die in my place, that a soul so unworthy might live. You know, those words stuck with me. Even to this day, there are many, many things I don't remember, but those words stuck with me. But at that time, I heard her sing, but I didn't hear Christ. Now, Christ used those words later, but at that time I did not hear Christ. I heard her sing, but I did not hear Christ. Later, I went into the Navy, and on leave Liberty one night from the base, we went to a meeting. It was a gospel meeting. They had a sermon. At the end of the sermon, they had a sing, stand up for Jesus, and wanted to know all those that would stand up for Jesus. And I stood up. But I'd heard the sermon without hearing Jesus. And I went out of there still unsaved. I had not heard him and followed him. I'd only heard the sermon. Jesus said, or Paul says here regarding these Ephesians, they heard Christ's voice. And Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Praise God, there was a meeting later on that I went to, a Bible study. In the chapel on the base. And that night, I didn't hear the speaker. I couldn't tell you one thing he said, but I heard Christ. And that night I went home and got saved in my bed, cried out. I heard him and followed him. And Paul says, since you have heard him. And that's the first step of learning Christ, is to hear him. Have you heard him? Maybe you've heard many sermons, but have you heard him? Have you heard Christ? And Paul says, not only have you have heard him, but you have been taught by him. Now, in the book of Acts, we read that Paul taught in Ephesus in the school of one Tyrannus for 3 years. Paul taught there. But Paul is saying here to these Ephesians, said, you heard him and have been taught by him. In other words, during those years there, although Paul taught, they heard Christ. They heard Christ speaking to them, and they learned of him. They learned Christ during that time. They were taught by him. And this is another thing we need to ask ourselves. As you open the Scriptures and read the Bible, do you just read the Bible, or is Jesus Christ teaching you? Are you taught by Jesus Christ from the Scriptures? As you attend services and hear sermons, do you just hear sermons, or is Christ teaching you? Are you learning Him? Do you just come to hear sermons, or do you come to hear Christ, to have Him teach you? And Paul says of the Ephesians, you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. Now, Paul begins the verse by referring to Him, back to verse 20, which is Christ. And so he says, you have heard Him. You have heard Christ. And you've been taught by Christ. And so Christ, the name referring to His deity, is the one who teaches us, the one who knows all things, is the one who teaches us of Himself. He is the one who instructs us in all things. But this truth that He teaches is the truth as it is in Jesus. And Jesus refers to His human nature. And He is the one who experienced all things. There is no trial that He has not suffered in the flesh. And so He experienced all things. And so interestingly enough, the one who knows all things is teaching us according to how He experienced all things. And so we have one who not only has the knowledge, but has the experience of all things as the one who is our teacher and teaching us all things, the truth as it is in Jesus. And so we see the truth lived out in the life of Jesus. And this is what we have in the Gospels. We have the truth of God in human flesh. And God then teaches us the experience of truth. Truth experienced through His Son. And so we are taught by Him. We then hear Him, and we are taught by Him. And this is how we begin to learn Christ. And that's where you have to start. Have you begun to learn Christ? Have you heard His voice? And have you followed Him, being taught by Him? And Paul says, you began in this way to learn Christ. But then after that, we continue to learn Christ. And Paul says in verses 22 to 24, how we continue to learn Christ. And he says in verse 22, we continue to learn Christ by putting off the former conduct. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And so we put off the old man. Now the old man is that fallen human nature that we receive from Adam, that everyone has. Every person that is born with that fallen, corrupt human nature that we receive from Adam. That is the nature that expresses itself in our former way of life before knowing Christ. And so that old man expressed itself. And that was the kind of life we lived. And Paul gave already a description of that kind of life in verses 17 through 19. It's a life without God, a life that boasts in its own abilities. And as Paul says in Galatians, while they promise liberty, they themselves are the slaves of corruption. And Paul says that this old man, with his old way of life, grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. In other words, it grows more and more corrupt. It is continually corrupting itself in a greater way. And that is caused by these lusts that deceive it. These deceitful lusts continue to deceive that old man, and it grows more and more corrupt. Now, lust promises happiness and fulfillment, but it gives just the opposite. We see this, for example, comparing the beautiful advertisement for alcoholic beverages. Compare that beautiful advertisement with what you would see slumped in a doorway on South Division. And so what it promises and what it gives are two different things. The same, the beautiful tobacco ads. Compare that with a visit to the hospital, to the lung cancer section, with the people there struggling for a breath of air. And so what it promises is very much different from what it gives. And that's true of every aspect of the deceitfulness of lusts. No matter what those lusts might be, they are deceitful and they do not give what they promise. And so Paul says, put off the old man. Now, we put off the old man as a whole. This entire old fallen nature, we put it off as a whole. And in fact, the word there is, as in the aorist, it's a once-for-all action, a rejection of the entire old man, the old nature. And this is stressed in other places. For example, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. Paul says to the Colossians, therefore put to death, mortify, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. And Paul says, put to death these members. And so there's a mortifying, a putting to death. There is a crucifying. We read in Romans 6:6 where Paul says, Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. So we see this total picture here. We are crucified with Christ. And so we take that stand of crucifixion with him, identifying with him in his crucifixion, the putting off of the old man. And then along with that, there is the putting aside of the fruit of that kind of life. Now, in Christ, then, we are crucified with him. We are dead to sin. Now, being dead to sin doesn't mean that we cannot sin. It's just that we no longer want to sin. And so there is that total change. Just like before we are saved, we are dead in sin. Now, that doesn't mean that we could not believe. It just meant that we did not want to believe. And so there is that possibility now as Christians that we can sin. God has given to us that desire to not sin. And 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, Paul says, purge out all corruption of the flesh and of the spirit. And so there's this stand on our death to sin in Christ, and there is this daily rejection of sin because of that stand in him. It's somewhat like if you are going to plant a garden, and perhaps you have lawn there, and you're going to decide that you're going to plant a garden there instead. You don't just take your seeds and punch a hole and push them down in between all the grass. What you do is you plow it up and you get rid of all those clods of grass, and then you plant your seed. Then after that, as in spite of all your work you have weeds, you pull them out. And so there is the identification with Christ in which we put off the old man. In other words, you get rid of that lawn. And then there is the day-by-day pulling up the weeds. Because although you do not want to sin, you still do. And so Paul says, this is the way you learned Christ. Now, in verse 21 then, Paul says, or verse 22 rather, you put off the old man. Verse 23, he says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then in verse 24, it says, you put on the new man. Now, the putting off the old man and the putting on the new man are both that same aorist tense. In other words, you do that. And that is an action, a once for all that you do. The one in the middle here, be renewed in your spirit, is a present tense. And so it could be, and be being renewed day by day in your spirit. In other words, you have to have a new way of thinking. Okay, you are crucified with Christ, and I stand with Him in His crucifixion. I put off the old man. I put on the new man, Jesus Christ and His righteousness. But day by day, there's the renewing of your mind. And this is told us also in Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, developing new thought patterns. Not just new thoughts, but new thought patterns, a new way of thinking. Isaiah 55:8. My thoughts are not your thoughts. And so we need to learn His thoughts, His thought patterns, His way of thinking. That's why it is so important to learn portions of Scripture, because you get God's way of thinking. You develop God's thought patterns as you learn His way of thinking. And you learn to think the way He thinks. That's the same way of learning a foreign language. Don't learn a foreign language by learning grammar and words, because you'll put those words together according to English grammar. You learn a foreign language by learning sentences and paragraphs, because then you are thinking the way they think, and you'll express it the way they express it. And so also with God, we learn God's way of thinking as we memorize and meditate upon His Word. And so new thought patterns that we develop then that bring a new conduct. And so we learn that that the old thought pattern that, for example, a drink would give me courage, we learn a new thought pattern that a drink will make a fool out of me. And so there's just a new way of thinking. And so we put off the old man and we put on the new man. This and the daily then transforming of the thought patterns, the new way of thinking. Now, we put off the old man, we put on the new man. How do we do that? Well, you put off the old man just like you take off a coat. Paul says in Romans 6:13, he says, do not be yielding your members to sin, but yield yourself up to God. And so Paul says it's a matter of our members. We take off, we put off the old man. We take off the old man by not then giving our members over to sin. We take off the old man, we renew our way of thinking, and we do not yield our members to sin. We present our members to God. How do you put on a coat? Well, you present your member, your hand and your arm, you present your member to that coat and you put it in. And you present your other member to that coat and you put it in. And so you yield your members. And so we yield our members to righteousness by putting on the new man. After having refused to yield our members to unrighteousness, and putting off the old man. And so we then by faith come before God, clothed in His righteousness, and assert ourselves by faith through His grace to be His. We belong to Him. We no longer belong to the world, the flesh, and the devil. We've put off the old man with his lusts. We belong to God. We put on the new man, Christ, and His righteousness. Now, this has very practical applications. For example, supposing I should go downtown to the public library and check out a book. And they stamp the book, and I can have that book for 3 weeks. I bring it home, I read it, take it back to them before the 3 weeks are up, and I turn it back to them. It's their book. Now, supposing I would take that book home, and after about 6 weeks, I'd get a call from the library asking me about that book. And I would say, well, if If you want to borrow it for a couple of weeks, that'll be fine. I'll be glad to loan it to you. And their response would be, well, it's our book. And so also the same thing applies to our lives. Now, we belong to God. If you are in Christ, if you've heard His voice, learned of Him, by faith, put off the old man. By faith, put on the new man. You belong to Him. Do not yield your members to unrighteousness, but yield yourself to God. And if sin comes along, you do not yield your members, your hands, your feet, your eyes, your tongue. You do not yield your members to unrighteousness. Your members no longer belong to sin. Your members belong to God. And sin comes along and wants to use your hands, your feet, your eyes. You say, no, they don't belong to you. They belong to God. And so you do not yield them to sin. And if through the deceitfulness of sin you are tricked so that sin uses your members. And this happened to Paul. Paul said that then it is no longer I, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now, Paul didn't mean he wasn't responsible before God for yielding his members. What he meant was that it was sin that used his members. And he took it back again because it didn't belong to sin. It belongs to God. And so if sin comes and checks out a member to use it, you get it back again because it doesn't belong to sin. Belongs to God. And so that we serve God and we do not serve sin. And when the devil, the world, the flesh, and the devil come, they have to get permission to use our members because our members belong to God. Now, we are dead to sin, just like before we came to know God. We were dead in sin. After we come to know Christ, we are dead to sin. But sin is not dead. Sin is still alive. And sin will seek to deceive us and use our members. But our members now belong to God. We've put off the old man. We've put on the new. Our members belong to God, and we get that member back again. And sin does not reign over us. Sin has no right. And we claim that member back again. The new man, then, Paul says, we put on the new man, which is created after or according to God in righteousness and true holiness. And these are two words that are used so commonly in Scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10. God puts these together where Paul says, you are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. Devoutly and justly, the same words that we have here, righteously and holily, that we behaved ourselves amongst you. And even Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, in Luke chapter 1, verse 74, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. And so this new man is created after the image of God in holiness and righteousness, after the image of God. And so the question this morning then is, have you heard Christ? Not just have you heard preachers, not just have you read books, have you heard Christ? Because it isn't just a matter of studying a religion, it's a matter of knowing Christ. Have you heard Christ? Have you followed Him? Have you been taught by Him? Have you seen how different He is from the world? How totally different Christ is from this world in which we live? Have you learned of Him? Have you learned Christ? And as by faith we put off the old man, by an act of faith before God, put on the new man, of which is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then by the grace of God, day by day, renewing our minds through the Scriptures, that we might not be deceived by sin into letting sin use our members, our hands, our eyes, our feet, whatever it might be. By renewing our minds, we see through the deceitfulness of sin and do not allow sin to use our members, that we might then be enabled by the grace of God to yield daily those members to Him, to whom indeed they belong, that others might see Christ, that others might learn Christ as they see us. There's a hymn in Scripture that we sing from time to time, 358, Earthly pleasures vainly call me. Now, at one time, they didn't call in vain. One time, they called and we followed. We obeyed. We yielded. Earthly pleasures vainly call me. I would be like Jesus. The next verse, He has broken every fetter, that I my soul might serve Him better. I would be like Jesus. So this is the cry of this portion of Scripture where Paul says, you haven't learned Christ to walk in that same way in which you walked before, but you've learned Christ and seen Him to be unique, to stand out, to be an example of the righteousness of and the holiness of God, that is an example of the new man that is ours in Christ Jesus. Let's sing hymn number 358. Shall we stand as we sing? Father, we thank You that You have indeed set before us the path, the narrow path, the uphill path, the heavenly path, the straight, straightened path, the glorious path. We praise You for this. And we thank You that along with this, You have given to us Your grace, that same grace that saves us. Day by day is with us, and we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we praise You for this, that even as You set before us the path of sanctification in Christ, dead to sin, alive in Him, being transformed day by day in our spirit by Your Spirit, we praise You that we can trust You for this and that You are sufficient for our every need. We rejoice in this. We thank You. And now, the very God of peace, sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will come.